What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Jazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Fandom Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger. We are part of the Believe Network, and this is your podcast, your one-stop shop for all things fandom. And this week we are covering, or not this week, because, you know, we cover multiple things in a week. Today we are covering She-Hulk, Episode 2. And it's not just me. I said we. We're joined by the fuzzball, Chelsea. Chelsea, how are you doing?
Fuzzball.
Because She-Hulk was fuzzball.
Yeah. All right.
So how are you doing, Fuzzball?
I'm great.
All right, Fuzzball's doing great. All right, and then also joining us, you hear him laughing there, the man that just brought us a map of the best places to poop, Alex Royd.
Yes, best places to poop.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man, I'm good. It was a fun episode. I'm ready to talk about it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So, you know, right off the bat, you know, I'll bring this up because I called it out in the House of the Dragon episode. I noticed the CGI a little bit more in this episode. Did you feel that way, Alex?
Noticed it in what way?
It was lacking. It was lacking a bit.
You know what? I tend to agree a little bit. Even the at the end, whenever they kind of pan out and they, you know, you spoiler alert for the podcast, you know, as they pan out and they show Hulk on the cruiser, it just kind of seemed not as crisp as you would have it for a movie. Like it was kind of like, you know, whenever Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on TV. Mm-hmm. And you saw some of their CGI and you were like, this is TV. This is not a movie. This is TV. And we'll accept it. It's kind of like that. You know, even though this is the brand, this is Disney Plus, it's still a TV show. And I'm pretty sure the FX budget is infinitesimal compared to an Avengers, a Marvel movie, whatever. So yeah, you do notice it a little bit, especially with this show where CGI is going to be such a huge component of it because damn it, you know, the main character, she balloons up to a 6'7" Hulk. I mean,
yeah, I feel like, you know, like standalone, like if she's just like by herself, she's not like, and she's talking or she's walking, it's fine. But as soon as it tries to interact with something else, then you can see, like, I don't know, like the mm-hmm. tracking's off on it. But Chelsea, I know you kind of feel the same way. Did you have anything else to add about the CGI?
No, it's just weird. And where are you rushing off to?
The feed. Just keep talking.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Really
the homie Nova decided to go ahead and come on the podcast and talk to us a little bit.
He's always interrupting things.
Yeah, so I mean, like, as far as the CGI and the special effects, again, if you go into this wanting crisp CGI and special effects, you're going to be disappointed. But if you go into it enjoying the story and enjoying what you're seeing and enjoying this has been a great show for like Easter eggs, you know, just seeing mm-hmm. random things thrown out there here and there. And like as a connector piece, you know, this show is kind of acting like a connector piece to a lot of things, especially a lot of Phase 4 things. And so, you know, if you look at it from that perspective and know that the CGI is going to be not A+, you know, the CGI is going to be maybe B-, you'll be okay.
Yeah, and like, you know, it doesn't take me out of it too much. Like,
you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, the very first scene, like, when it happens, like, I see it, I'm like, ah, dang. And then, like, you know, I'm in the story. Like, you know, yeah. I kind of move on from it. But, you know, it does bear mentioning, you know, because, you know, it is a topic of conversation, not just in Marvel, but, you know, I brought it up in House of Dragon. And, you know, not just Marvel television, like, you know, they've had discussions about it and, like, you know, some of the movie stuff here recently, too. So, you know, just bear mentioning. So there were a lot of, like, that guy. Like, you know, if you watch the rewatch, or if you listen to the rewatchables of Bill Simmons, whenever, like, they, you know, they rewatch movies and they have all these categories, he has the that guy category. There was a lot of, like, different actors from different things in this show. And do you, which was the one that, the first one you saw, Chelsea?
I don't remember which, the family dinner.
Chad.
The guy from, he's from Outer Banks.
Chad.
Oh, was that Chad?
Yeah, that was Chad.
I thought they were saying Chad.
No, it's Chad. Chad's the one that works at, is it Radio Shack or?
Best Buy.
Best Buy. He's a manager now.
Yeah, he's a manager now. That's Chad. That's cousin Chad. So I think whenever Bruce Banner brought him up in the first episode, I think he was doing it
sarcasm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes more sense. But yeah, I mean, like Chelsea said, I can't remember, was it Benny?
I don't know. I just know he's from Outer Banks.
Yeah, he's from Outer Banks. Sure. He plays one of the guys in Outer Banks. I mean, yeah, he's a good actor. It was kind of funny to see him in this role, really, like the slapstick kind of.
Yeah, very different than his role in Outer Banks.
Yeah, for sure. Another person, the guy that famously brought the poop map, Josh Segarra, who was in.
He was in Arrow, wasn't he?
He was in Arrow and Chicago PD.
He played the character Prometheus in Arrow, and let me tell you,
he was Voight's. He was Voight's son on Chicago PD.
Yes, he was one of the most, like, menacing, psychological villains, like, I've seen him, like, you know, superhero TV.
Yeah, he just, like, wouldn't die in Arrow. Like, he just kept coming back.
Yeah, but no, he was awesome. I really love him as an actor. Anything he's been in, like, I really like him. Like, he just oozes charisma. Mm-hmm. And
he seems like to be playing a very different, like, a big departure from other things we've seen him into in this show.
Yeah, it'll be like interesting to see if he's like character. Yeah, I was about to say, if he's going to be a side character, if he's going to play a bigger role. Because I do remember when they announced that he was casted, I'm pretty sure I sent to Chelsea, because, you know, like we said, you know, we watch all these things. Alex, I didn't know he's a Chicago PD watcher, man.
Bro. Oh, my gosh. Those are my shows, man. The one Chicago shows.
See, it's funny, like, going off on a tangent sidebar here, like, we never got into Chicago Fire. We started watching Chicago PD because we watched One Tree Hill. And Sophia Bush.
I really wanted to see it because of Sophia.
Yeah, Sophia Bush was in it, who played Aaron Lindsay. And then from there, you know, we got into Chicago Med, and Chelsea, like, loves Med more than PD.
Bro, y'all sound like my daughters. Like, so I've always watched the One Chicago shows. Like, I started watching them, I think, whenever PD first started. So when PD first started, I think Chicago Fire was in its second season. And so I had missed the first season of Chicago Fire and the second season of Chicago Fire. So whenever, like, they reference back to things that happened, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. So now that I got, you know, Peacock, I've literally watched the first two seasons of Chicago Fire and I understand a lot more.
Yeah, but we kind of, like, never went back and watched Fire. We were just like, well, we'll be okay without it.
Such a good show, man. All three of them are real good shows. And so, like, now I've got my oldest daughter. She watched all of Chicago Med because she's, you know, she's heavy on, like, medical shows and stuff like that. So she watched all of Chicago Med over the summer. She got started with PD. And, like, all she does is talk to me about PD. Mm-hmm. And she's like on season 4 or season 5. And she's like, oh, my God. You know, she's like, you know, what happens to Antonio? What happens to this? And I'm like, look, man, that was like 6 years ago. I have no idea. I forgot what happened.
It's been on for so long now.
Yeah, exactly. I love those shows, man.
What's funny about Med and, like, what got us into it is it has, like, especially, like, when it first started, all the actors were, like, from so many different fandoms. Like, obviously, you had Halstead's brother, but then you had Colin O'Donnell. Who was from Arrow. He played Tommy Merlin. You had the guy that played Drift King in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. And I think his name's Brian T.
Natalie was from
Pretty Little Liars.
That's Shredder. From
he's also Shredder. Yeah, you're right.
From the Ninja Turtle movie.
Yeah, Natalie's in One Tree Hill and Pretty Little Liars. Who was the other one? Oh, and then Yaya DaCosta, who plays April. She was in America's Not Talking Model. That's why Chelsea was excited for it. That was a big
selling point for me. Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah, welcome to the Chicago PD podcast. All right, let's get back on track. So, yeah, in She-Hulk. So, obviously.
Oh, hold on. So are y'all going to start watching that whenever it comes on September 21st?
Absolutely.
Oh, PD and Mid, yeah. We walked
in.
Oh,
there we go. Something else to add to the fandom. There we go.
Hey,
These shows are about to start becoming like an hour and a half now. Watch.
Hey, we're gonna wait when we get into the House of Dragon recap. You know, like we're putting everybody in their own Game of Thrones house, like in different fandoms. We'll have a Chicago segment too.
There we go.
We'll do that. So, all right, back into the show. So, like, you know, I haven't even laid out what happened. Like, we're like 10 minutes into the pod and we haven't even talked about what happened. So, you know, in the scene that I noticed the CGI happening, you know, obviously news breaks out that She-Hulk, you know, saves people in the courtroom. And it's really interesting because, like, you know, when you read a comic book, when you watch these movies, you know, you see the fight take place and you never think about the ramifications, what's happening. Like, yeah, it's awesome that she saved the jury, but, you know, in court where, like, you know, one of your job is finding as many finding loopholes so you can win the case. Like, you know, whoever she was going against, like, was absolutely like in his, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know what you're getting at all.
In his bag?
No,
well,
not.
She lost, like, or the case was thrown out because the jury was then biased because she saved her life.
He was within his rights.
Mistrial.
Yeah,
I was trying to say he was within his rights. I don't know why. Words were escaping me, but
I think it's GLKH.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to get those letters down because, I mean, that's like what, 1/16 of the, or no, like 1/8 of the alphabet. So, like, we've got to figure out which letters it is. But I did think it was interesting that, like, after all of her, like, job searching and,
hold on, you know what it's from, right?
What's that?
The GLKH?
Nah, man, lay it on me.
So the G is for the guy. I don't know his name. I forgot his name, but he's for the guy that, like, he was the owner of Marvel. He was the owner of, like, Atlas Comics, which eventually became Marvel. Mm-hmm. So the G is for him.
L is for Lee. K is for Lieberman. Kirby.
So oh, no, Stan Lee. His, Sorry. No, Stan Lee, his real name is Stanley Lieberman.
Oh, gotcha.
So, and then Kirby, his real name is Kleinsman, I think it is. And so the K is for that, or Kirby, whatever. And then the H is for Holloway. And so Holloway is the one that we see on the show.
Yeah. Okay. So the GOK is like Marvel lore, and then the H is like who it actually is. Okay.
Kind of ties it all together. Yeah.
Okay. Alex dropping some knowledge on us. I like it.
Yeah, I'd be none the wiser.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting though that, like, you know, like she said, like, you fired me so you could hire me, and
you got me fired.
You got me fired so you could hire me. You know, it's kind of interesting to think, like, how long this potential, you know, because that's what it is. Like, he hires her so she can defend Emil Blonsky and, you know, try to get him off on parole. It makes you wonder how long that was in his back pocket as a potential case, as a potential client. Do you have any thoughts on that, Chelsea?
I don't know. The timeline is still really confusing to me because she, you know, ends up taking him as a client, and then you immediately see him in, like, what we know to be Shang-Chi. So could he have been, like, she literally just became She-Hulk. So could it have been a long-running scheme in his head for her to be his? I don't know. It doesn't make sense that he, like, was plotting it. I think he just saw an opportunity and, like, took it, you know?
So remember that. So number one, on episode one, it does say a few months. as far as the timeline whenever she becomes Hulk and she trains with Bruce Banner. It was a few months. So in that few months, apparently a lot has happened. So you had the Eternals thing happen with TMNT. TMNT coming up through the surface. So you had that happen. You know, you have Wolverine in quotation marks, you know, somewhere out there. And so, like, those few months, we don't know how long it is. We don't know if a few months is 2 months. We don't know if it's 4 or 5. And so the whole Chang-Chi thing, that could have happened within that time frame, which is where you see, like, the clip of him fighting against Wong in the what's the place called?
Do not remember at all.
In the Chang-Chi place.
See, was it implying that he had just literally escaped from prison though, and that was currently happening in that video?
No, it wasn't current. Like it was just video came out that he had that it had happened.
But he had escaped.
It's like I guess.
So then he was recaptured.
Yeah, well, it was unclear. Like, you know, they just said that like he had broke out of prison. They didn't say that he was at large. They didn't say.
I kind of took it as like, oh, that was currently happening, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it might have been a situation where they held on to the tape until she became his lawyer and then released it.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Because whenever she calls Holloman or Holloway, looks at the phone, he goes, "Okay, good. What I was expecting." You know, so maybe like this was all part of the plan is to go ahead and release the clip, and then she's gonna go ahead and become his lawyer, and then go from there.
Let's see how good you really are. And now I do think it's interesting, like. You know, Alex, you was talking about Easter eggs, but like how this show connects to the MCU at large, because, you know, obviously, like, you know, the Shang-Chi clip and the cruiser from Sakaar, and, you know, I think it's setting up for future projects. Like, you know, we see Hulk and the cruiser like headed off to space somewhere. And, you know, I turned to Chelsea. I was like, wait a minute. And I don't know why my head went to Secret Invasion for a second, but then I was like, oh, or is this like setting up Planet Hulk? Is this setting up World War Hulk? And then I was like, all right, Sable, we'll talk about it in the podcast. So
wasn't Planet Hulk or like their attempt at Planet Hulk in like Ragnarok though?
Yeah, kind of.
So probably China. Not Planet Hulk. I mean, it was like a nod to Planet Hulk,
yeah.
Like a reference.
Exactly. Yeah.
So probably not.
Well, that was just a Freudian slip on my part saying Planet Hulk. Okay. I'm not World War Hulk.
Yeah.
I still can't say that. World War
Hulk. I can't say that to save my Hulk. Save my Hulk. Save my life.
World War Hulk. Okay, we got
World War Hulk.
What do you think, Joseph? Yeah, you think it's like setting up that? Or?
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to do something in outer space, obviously. I don't know. Looking for his love child that definitely probably is out there somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There is another Hulk about because he dropped the hint. It's out there.
Yeah, like you talked about last week, and Alex even alluded to Scar last week. Alex, how are you feeling about that scene, man? You think it's setting up World War Hulk, or I did it.
Yeah, man, I think it is. I think, you know, so I think they dropped it now. So okay, going back to what we talked about in the first episode, remember I said that the introduction to She-Hulk, or how she became She-Hulk, was supposed to happen like in the seventh or eighth episode. But if I'm thinking about that, if I look at the timeline, and if I look at, you know, this, if I look at the calendar, that was supposed to happen. So if you were going to bring that up, episode 7 or 8, that would have happened after D23.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's coming up. So I think what happened was they decided to go ahead and put the origin story in the first episode for continuity purposes also. But also I think because D23, they're going to show the slate, the complete slate for phase 6, And I do think that a World War Hulk movie is going to be in there. And so I think it would have been weird if you would have had that in there, and then you would have done, it would have been kind of anticlimactic, you know, if you would have had like the origin story with Bruce Banner and Hulk in She-Hulk after the fact that World War Hulk was announced.
Yep. That's absolutely fair, man. I had something else. Oh yeah. Well, kind of talking about D23 and like things being announced, you know, we already know Thunderbolts movie is going to be coming out. Like that's that's on the slate. Like it's going to be happening. We just don't know who's going to be in it.
This is another connector.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this is my theory of like I personally think like, you know, when Emil Blonsky was kind of like, you know, defending
himself. My seven lovers. My well, seven.
Yeah, his seven secret lovers and the haikus and stuff. But like, aside from that, like, you know, like when he laid out his case to like why he was doing what he was doing, like, you know, it made you just take a step back and like look at it from his perspective. Like, you know, he's got a point. Like, you know, there wasn't like malice. Like he was a soldier. He was carrying out his duty for his, you know, for his government, for his nation. And, you know, he was told there was a threat. Go take care of the threat. And this is how you got to do it. And, you know, from there, you know, as we've seen with Hulk, like, you know, your anger gets a little bit out of control. And so, you know, that's what happened. Like, and when, like, he laid it out, you know, Marvel just kind of does what they do with villains. Like, they make you feel for them. They make you care for them. They make you want to forgive them for all they've done. Like, Loki's one of the most lovable characters in the MCU by fans. But, like, he was ready to commit genocide in Avengers.
I think people love Tom Hiddleston though.
Yeah, but what I mean,
just that like look at Baron Zemo.
Yes,
yeah, like
Baron Zemo caused
dancing Zemo stuff, baby.
Yeah, within the Avengers, and you know what? Whenever he showed up on, you know, Winter Soldier, like I was like, hell yeah, let's go! Like he was one of the most likable characters, and I'm so glad he's back in it, and he's probably going to be in Thunderbolts, you know, in the Dark Avengers. So yeah, I completely second what you're saying about, you know, like how MCU does with villains.
Yeah, and you know, kind of my theory with that is just like, you know, we obviously saw that scene with Shang-Chi, Wong, and Abomination fighting, and you know, Wong's like, you know, Emil, you're not supposed to hit me that hard, and like they go through the portal, and I think, you know, you've seen in the portal that they actually go back to Kamar-Taj. My kind of working theory, and you know, like this is very just like foundational, like you guys can poke holes in it, as I'm sure Chelsea will. You know, Emil has, I think one of the people that he's been talking to, maybe not one of his lovers, quote unquote, but like one of his friends, like one of his pen pals, if you will, is Wong. And I think that Wong's one of his connections. And I think that Wong is gonna, like, you know, obviously we have connected Val with being part of Thunderbolts, but I think that Wong could also be a part of Thunderbolts, because we know that Wong's trying to build a team. Like he's very much part of the Avengers, as we've seen in Shang-Chi, when you recruited Shang-Chi with Captain Marvel and Bruce Banner Hulk. So my thought is that Wong is also part of this recruitment process, and he's actually played a very big part in rehabilitating Emil Blonsky, because in the way he's talking, you know, he's saying namaste, like, you know, he's very peaceful. He's talking about haikus. Like, I don't know. Gives me some Wong energy. Poke holes, if you will, or add on to it, or go ahead.
So I think the seven, is it the seven lovers? What phrases he used?
I can't remember what he said, man. I know it's seven.
So the seven people that he's talking about, I'm pretty sure those are the Thunderbolts. So I think there was a rumor out there. I think that there was a rumor out there that it was going to be Yelena Belova. It was going to be Ghost from Ant-Man 2. It was going to be U.S. Agent. It was going to be Zemo. Let's see. So I'm missing a couple people. So I'm missing like two or three more people. And so that you have your seven right there. It's definitely going to be Val. You know, Val's going to be one of them. And so I think Holloway is in cahoots with Val, because I think Blonsky's going to be the linchpin to bring this group together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why she wants him out on parole to get him out there so that this team can form.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Say, see, you took my theory and you built upon it. I like it, Chelsea. Can you build more? You want to knock it down?
I was just thinking that I thought Ghost was dead.
No, Ghost isn't dead. They they found a way to work on her, and especially after they freed Janet Van Dyne from the Quantum Realm, she started working with her with the knowledge that she gained from her time in Quantum Realm.
Yes, I just totally don't remember that.
Don't sleep on Ant-Man and the Wasp. It was a good movie.
No, I enjoyed I just don't remember things like I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, we are 30 movies deep and about 10 shows deep already. So.
Yeah, it really is a lot.
It do be going around, man. But, let me ask you this, Alex. What was your favorite line from the show? Or if you don't have a specific line, what was your favorite moment from the show?
So my favorite moment was whenever my favorite moment was whenever the camera panned back and you saw Hulk on the ship in space. Like, yeah. That felt like a post credit scene moment. But my favorite moment, I'm loving Marvel doing this, is the moment with Jennifer Walters and her father, like when they're alone in the garage,
mm-hmm.
and he's being a dad, you know, he's asking her how she's really doing after being fired, you know, and he's like kind of consoling her and saying, look, at least you didn't mess up a city like your cousin, you know? And I just thought it was a cool moment. And, you know, me being a father and being a girl dad, you know, I can see that, you know, even though my kid may be, you know, maybe a doctor, maybe whatever, it's, you know, it always comes back to, you know, you're my baby and I'm going to go ahead and, you know, try to console you and try to help you no matter how old you are, no matter how big you are.
Bro, you know what kind of vibes he gave me?
What's that?
Dustin Hoffman and Meet the Fockers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He just gave me Dustin Hoffman vibes.
It just looks like him?
A little bit, but he acts like him too, I think.
Maybe.
But yeah, I liked it. Yeah, no, I really appreciated the father-daughter dynamic, and he was like, hey, I need you to come help me with this. I'm like, they go into like a garage or shed area. I was like, oh, he's going to have her move my stuff. He's like, I was just getting you away so I could ask how you're actually doing.
But then he does actually have her
face. Yeah, that was funny.
Which is funny.
Both of those are major dad moves.
Yeah.
I do have some notes about the Hulk and spaceship scene. And so whenever, you know, the phone starts ringing, you see Fuzzball. The Hulk picks up the phone. I just have a question, man, because it looks like a normal size phone in the Hulk's hands. But proportionally to the Hulk, is this man picking up an iPad, like an iPad Pro, and just holding it up to his head?
I mean,
like,
hey, you never know. You never know. Like, he should be like Will Ferrell in that SNL skit where they all have like the tiny phones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely. And the also he's able to like unlock his phone or answer the phone like by swiping. And do they even do that anymore? Does your phone like? I don't think the iPhone. I don't think it does.
Mine definitely does.
Mine doesn't. I just press a green button.
Dylan, you're talking about in a comic book movie where they've been to space, and they've been to space for several years now. They've perfected alien technology. Like, I'm pretty sure he has like some cosmic transponder phone that looks like a phone that allows him to communicate through the galaxy. It's okay.
No, man, it's an iPad.
But and somehow the phone works.
Your iPhone isn't going to do that yet.
No, but when you answer your phone, you have a headset on, so you don't swipe your screen.
Hold on.
That's fair.
BS. I have seen this man's screen. He doesn't answer his phone or answer his text or answer his emails at all. Like, my dude has more red bubbles on his phone than anything else.
Doesn't it stress you out?
It does. It really does.
He'll be like, hey, look at this on my phone. And all I see are Twitter notifications at the top. And I'm like, it's constant. They never stop. They never stop. And I'm like, literally, I cannot even look at your phone.
All right. I'm being attacked. That's cool.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Chelsea also made the note. About how he has to think about all the restraint he has to show whenever, like, he just delicately picks up the phone and swipes it so he doesn't crush the phone.
Yeah. Unless it's just a super strong phone, I mean.
Hey, it could be. It could be industrial strength. Chelsea, what was your favorite moment in the show?
The poop map, for sure.
That was good.
The poop map. It was so relatable. Unexpected. It was relatable, though.
Poop here, not here.
The specifics. Believe me, on the map.
We all have that bathroom. Wherever we work, we all have that bathroom.
I got to tell you, I think my favorite part was the fourth wall breaking, you know, the continued theme of it in the show. I didn't even realize it was happening in the first moment whenever she was like, whenever she was She-Hulk and she was walking with Holloway, like, you know, through the law firm and everybody's just staring at her. And like, she's just riffing off like, oh, I can't believe these morons are staring at me. Like, I wanted to be here because I belong here, not because I'm She-Hulk. And I'm like, she's just saying this? And then, you know, the camera positions itself to where she's looking at the camera. I'm like, oh, that was a sly fourth wall break.
Fourth walling, yeah.
And then he's like, what do you think about it? She's like, I'm agnostic.
So I wanna ask you about that. What does that mean? Like, what do you think it means to, because like agnostic, I relate that with like religion. Like,
yeah, somebody, I think like, she said it and then she immediately was like, I'm gonna think about that like for the rest of my life because I don't think she was actually listening to him. And so she just said something totally random, kind of like when you go to the movies and they say, enjoy your movie, and you go, you too. And then you're like, God, why did I say that? That was really stupid. I think she just said something totally stupid and random and then was like, oh, that made no sense.
I do that all the time, though. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And he was even like,
okay,
interesting, innovative. And then he just laughs. And then she's like,
I have a question about her clothes. Why do sometimes they rip and sometimes they don't?
I don't know.
Because she buys them stretchier now. No, I'm serious. She buys them stretchier.
You, but it's still like, I'm 5'3", and if I, even wearing an extra large shirt, if I turned into a 6'7" version of me, I'm still not fitting in an extra large shirt.
I get you. I understand.
I don't get it.
Here we go with the damn CGI. I always
It's more just like continuity, because like her clothes were ripping and now they're not. But then also she did change into a sweatsuit because they ripped, but then later she didn't change. I don't know. Just that's all. I'm just confused.
Whatever it is, I'm pretty sure Pug will be prepared.
Pug, what a name, by the way. Very, very excited for the name. And then the final fourth wall break, of course, whenever like she accepts the job, she's riding high. He's like, hey, turn on the TV. She's like, okay, cool. Like, still happy go lucky, riding the high of the job. Sees what happens. She's like,
that sucks.
And then she looks at the camera. That sucks. Just the way she said it. It's very much the way you deliver, like, oh, awesome, cool, that's great.
Awesome.
What are you saying, Alex? My bad.
No. I wasn't saying anything. I was laughing.
Gotcha.
Laughing at the matrimonial chemistry we got going on here.
Yeah. Hey, we're in the same room now, man. We got the headphone splitter. We're riding high. All right, guys. Well, I think we've covered every beat of this episode.
Talk about Wolverine.
Huh? Wolverine?
Yeah. There was in a magazine. There was
the webpage. Yeah.
Today?
Uh-huh. That's what I
No,
told
no,
you.
no, no. On the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like on today's episode? Like on this week's episode?
I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Continue.
You okay, so you didn't see
He
that?
didn't.
I
I
didn't.
didn't see it in the episode,
Oh.
but I saw it earlier. There was an article that said, man with claws, like something about a bar fight.
Yeah.
Like a headline
Man
about
with metallic claws fights in bar.
So
That's what
it's
I was talking
just
about.
like,
So they
okay.
referenced that, and then the one underneath it was giant stone man, poking out of the earth.
Yeah, where they talk about the
Talking about TNA.
internals.
I'm really glad that they referenced that.
Yeah, it's about damn time.
Because that's not something that just goes
Goes
away.
away, yeah. Well, that
Yeah.
probably caused global warming to like hyperdrive.
Right, so the
But
Wolverine thing is like obviously a specific reference to like how we met Wolverine in the first X-Men movie,
yeah.
the big bar fight. Right? Like
Yeah,
that's
it
how
is. It's
I
a
took
reference to
it, that first fight. So then now the timeline is even fuzzier for me.
Well, I mean, so you know what's funny? So whenever like if you look real close, whenever Jennifer Walters takes out her phone, and I believe it's when she's at the bar, number one, what's hilarious is she has a picture, her screen, her lock screen is Captain America's ass. But if you look, it's an iPhone. If you look at the area where the date is supposed to be, it's not on there. So that, kind of lends more to like, this phase four like timeline. I think they're just gonna go ahead and kind of not
Hit.
try to fix it, not
Yeah.
try to like kind of explain it, and then we're just gonna move on to phase five. And in phase five, I think they're gonna finally like kind of, solidify where we're at in time as far as what year it is and go from there.
Yeah, because
Or Kang could just mess it all up.
yeah, that'd be
that's
nice.
true too.
Because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't we supposed to be like in 2025, like in current Marvel timeline or something
2025,
like
yeah,
that?
somewhere there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's wild to me. I don't understand how that works, but we're not going to think too much about it because it'll make our brains hurt. But guys, it's at this point that we got to give our rating for the episode. So Chelsea, ladies first. Two thumbs down, a thumbs down, neutral, like you
I'm
did last time.
still just right in the middle.
All right, don't even let me finish the scale.
I
One thumbs up or two thumbs up. So Chelsea still thinks it's mid. Why do you think it's mid, Chelsea?
mean, I just find it a little cringy, but that's just me.
Chelsea finds a lot of things cringy. This
I
is
do.
fair. Chelsea will be the negative one of the podcast. I 100%.
We always need one.
Yeah,
We
so.
need an anti-Jerry.
Yeah, we need balance for sure. Like that's why we work so well together. I'm so happy go lucky, and Chelsea's like, why are you the way that
I
you are?
just bring you back down to earth.
Yeah. All right, Alex, what
Hey.
was your rating for the show?
Thanos was right. Everything balanced as all things should be.
Yes.
All right, so it was still a thumbs up. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and I enjoy the Easter eggs and the vehicle of continuity for phase four that She-Hulk is gonna be. Because we already know that Daredevil's gonna be in it. We already know that a couple other characters, Wong's gonna be in it. So it's a vehicle for continuity for kind of connecting all the pieces of phase four. And I'm here for that. And I enjoyed this episode. And hopefully, it continues on the same track.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to go the same as you, but I don't want to go the same as you either. So like I can't go two thumbs up.
Your
I don't think it's
opinions
two
are
thumbs
valid,
up.
whatever they are.
Okay, well I'm going with one thumbs up. I enjoyed the episode. Like I enjoy everywhere they're going with it. They get me for a few good laughs every episode. Like genuine laughs, not just like the nose blow. Like I genuinely like
The
audibly
poop one
laugh.
had me audibly gagging.
Yeah. So like
Gaggle.
it's enjoyable show. And like you said, and I'm like just the connectivity of the MCU, like honestly, it's funny. This has more connections to the I guess like the past MCU than any other Disney Plus show that we've had. like just like more threads connecting in different ways. Like, you know, obviously One Division connected to everything that happened with One Division, Falcon Winter Soldier, same thing, everything with Falcon and Winter Soldier, but like those shows connected to basically what made those shows possible. Like She-Hulk is here and it connects to Hulk because Hulk made it possible, but it also connects to the wider MCU. So like you said, like I really enjoy that, really look forward to that. And I'm looking forward to seeing how some of these side characters grow. I want to see more Josh Segura in this show.
More Pug.
Give me more Pug. All right, guys. Well, hey.
Hey, so hold on. So speaking of WandaVision,
Oh, we're dropping news too. Let's do it.
Yeah. So apparently, they've confirmed their director for Fantastic Four, and it's Matt Shakman, who was the director of WandaVision. So, there we go. Fun. A little bit of news before D23. Now we get to see who the actors are going to be.
Hopefully. That is the rumor. But
we need a whole podcast dedicated to.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a huge D23 recap.
No, for sure. I would fan cast.
A fan cast episode? Well, we've got too much content going around right now.
We could do a pre-draft, a pre-D23 podcast.
Yeah, we can have like a what we're looking forward to, and then we can do our fan cast then. So prepare your fan cast, Alex.
Yes.
But no, yeah, Matt Shakman, I thought he did a good job with WandaVision. He actually stepped away from Star Trek IV, which, you know, he was very excited about, fans were very excited about, so he could do Fantastic Four. So, I mean, you know, that's a big project. So
He attached himself to another project that had the number 4 in it.
There you go. But I am excited because, you know, me and Chelsea was kind of talking about it earlier, and she's like, you know, I don't really see like a correlation between WandaVision and Fantastic Four. And the only correlation,
there really has to be one, but
yeah, just like, you know, like the director style.
I was just like, why is it so significant? I didn't understand, but
yeah, I think just like the core being like the core of the show and the core of what the Fantastic Four is family. And, you know, I'm not saying Matt Shakman has like a monopoly on being like being a family type director, but, you know, he's shown the ability to, you know, kind of play with the elements of, you know, a family with WandaVision, Billy and Tommy, and look forward to getting to see him play with the elements and the emotions of Marvel's first family in the Fantastic Four. So, absolutely.
One thing that I'll say about Matt Shakman is the fact that in WandaVision, you know, he went through different time periods in every episode. And from what I hear, you know, this may change completely by the time it comes out, but from what I hear, Fantastic Four is not necessarily going to be an origin story.
Yeah.
They're going to have flashbacks. And so, you know, I think it'll be good with Matt Shakman with those flashbacks to where he can kind of, you know, show things from the past as far as how they became the first family and, you know, and maybe even they've interacted with, you know, the MCU in some place somehow in the past. So,
yep.
I just think that'd be cool.
For sure, man. Look forward to see how things go down in the Marvel sandbox. But Chelsea, you got anything to add before we close out?
Mm-mm.
Alex, you got anything else to add before we close out, sir?
No, sir, man. Just, you know, ready for House of the Dragon, second episode on Sunday, baby.
Let's go. You can see what Chelsea gets excited for on this podcast.
Audible gas, baby.
Audible gas and just like
I'm Clint's tolerating teeth. She-Hulk just so I can participate.
Terrible.
Hey. She-Hulk will get you a thumbs up eventually.
Maybe.
It will happen, daggone it. It will happen. But hey.
Whenever Daredevil shows up, the thumb is going to go up.
We need to watch Daredevil.
Yeah.
Such a great show.
We do. All right. But hey. That's all the time we got for today on Topic Fandom. Definitely tune in this weekend as we will be bringing our recap of episode 2 of The House of the Dragon, as Chelsea is very excited for. We're all very excited for, but nobody matches Chelsea's energy on that. So, definitely tune into that. If you guys have not already, hit subscribe and, you know, subscribe to us. I said hit subscribe like we're on YouTube. Subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcast. Just search the Topic Fandom Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @topic_fandom. And yeah, leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed this conversation. Those help us out. They make us feel warm and fuzzy inside. So on behalf of myself, Chelsea, and Alex, we're going to go write haikus to our 7 lovers and hope you guys have a great night. And until next time, take it easy.
Nerd up.
We're not saying nerd up.
Nerd up, baby. Nerd up.